To Generations on Giants, a fan-centric podcast discussing all things San Francisco Giants baseball between a dad, that's me, Kyle McElroy, and a daughter.
That's me, McKenna McElroy.
And here we are in early May. We just had our pre-production meeting going over this, and maybe the best thing to do right now is let's go vibe check on May 10th, McKenna. What is the vibe around the San Francisco Giants for you right now?
Bummer, dude.
That good, huh?
Yeah. Yeah, basically, the Giants won 2 in Colorado and then lost their last game, and any sort of momentum or good feelings or thoughts about the offense sort of crumbled away into bummer, dude.
Yeah, for those of you who listen to this podcast but aren't aware, the Giants had a tough 10-game road trip that they just concluded. They started off with 3 in Boston, 4 in Philadelphia, and 3 in Colorado. They went 1-2 in Boston, got swept in Philadelphia, rebounded a little bit to take 2 of 3 from Colorado. Just, you know, to be honest, a really, really bad Colorado team. To go 3-7 on the road trip. And, you know, to be honest, it kind of feels like 3-7 is overstating or feels like more wins than they got. I mean, 3-7 and looked just absolutely horrible in doing so. You know, on Generations on Giants, we try to keep things positive, but vibe check right now, 25% or so of the way into the season, it's tough to right now maintain that positive outlook and positive approach.
What's so confusing for me is the team sucked last year, right? And was bad with runners in scoring position, didn't score a lot of runs, didn't hit a lot of home runs. They changed basically everything, and yet it seems to be kind of the same team.
Yeah, if you look at the addition, and, you know, we've talked a lot about the additions, Soler, Jung-Hoo Lee, Matt Chapman, Blake Snell, Tom Murphy as a backup catcher. Lots of new players on this team. You know, Tyler Fitzgerald has a bigger role this year. Yeah, lots of change for the same results.
The Giants have been hit with the injury bug on this road trip, especially. It was a pretty healthy season so far, but a lot of position players went down. Patrick Bailey went on the concussion IL, and then the next day, Tom Murphy suffered an injury. He's going to be out for about 6 weeks, probably. Hopefully, Patrick Bailey will be back soon. But, you know, with head injuries, you never want to push it. And then Jorge Soler went on the 10-day IL, leading to Elliot Ramos being called up, which is about the most exciting thing that I think happened, and it wasn't that exciting. And then Jung-Hoo Lee sat out of the game yesterday as we're recording because he fouled a ball off his foot. So hopefully that is not a major injury, but just definitely a bunch of benching, some 10-day ILs, some longer-term ILs. Huge bummer.
Yeah. The injury to, I don't think anybody is sort of, who follows the Giants is really disappointed seeing Soler go on the IL or Tom Murphy go on the IL, to be honest. While those signings, I certainly understand the signings. I don't think they have endeared themselves to Giants fans so far. The Patrick Bailey injury, because as you said, McKenna, he's going on the concussion IL. That's always scary when you start talking about a head injury. I saw it reported, and I really agree with this. There's no such thing as a minor concussion. It's all sort of degrees of severity. And so, you know, hopefully he's going to be back sooner rather than later. But this is a long season, and he's got a long career in front of him. So much more important to make sure that he's, well, and not only a long career in front of him, hopefully, but a life in front of him as well. So, you know, hopefully that they give him the time and he takes the time to really get healthy and get his head straight.
Yeah, Generations on Giants is firmly pro-MLB's new concussion protocol and anti-toughing it out.
Yeah, for sure. But let's keep it on this vibe check and maybe tune in, trying to get some positive vibes somewhere. And I'm in the pre-production meeting, we did not go over this, so I'm doing this live for McKenna. You went to a baseball game recently that was not the Giants, and so you had a better than average chance of actually seeing some runs scored and having a good time. So, you know, maybe talk. Who'd you go see, and how was that experience?
Yeah, I've been to a Mets and a Yankees game in the past couple weeks. Both New York teams won while I was there, so I'm a bit of a good luck charm. I did go to Dollar Dog Night for the Mets. They sold, I think, 70,000 hot dogs that night. It was a little bit crazy. I only had three of them. But, yeah, I got to see the awesome light show at Citi Field when DJ Stewart hit a go-ahead home run in the later innings. That was pretty cool. Did not get to see the Diaz closer entrance because the game was not close enough to bring in the closer, so I was a bit bummed about that. And then I got to see a lot of homers when the Yankees played the Astros. Some young guys hit a homers. Anthony Volpe hit a home run. Giancarlo Stanton hit a home run. It was pretty awesome to see their deep lineup and their powerful lineup and, you know, just some good baseball being played.
I also love the videos that come out of Yankee Stadium when the right field bleachers does the roll call of the Yankees defense at the start of the game, where they basically chant each of the players' names, starting I think they usually start with Aaron Judge and go just, you know, around the field, and, you know, all of the Yankee players turn around and acknowledge the right field bleachers as they chant their name. I think that's a pretty neat tradition.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. And of course, their Juan Soto fever is sweeping the city. I saw about as many 22 jerseys as I did 99 jerseys, which is crazy because Juan Soto's been there for 2 months. But he's just awesome. He had, I think, like 4 RBI in the game that I saw. He's pretty electric. I really want to see from the Giants, I'd love to see some more like celebrations. I guess we have to have something to celebrate. But so far, the only kind of chant or celebration or fancy thing we have this year is the Jung-Hoo Lee chant, which I kind of feel like Jung-Hoo Lee might be our equivalent, if you can call him that, to Juan Soto, because a lot of Jung-Hoo Lee jerseys, I think, popping up, a lot of new fans. He's definitely a bright spot.
Yeah, the Giants are 9-7, I believe, at home this season, so they're coming home. A pretty tough 6-game homestand coming up right now. 3 against the Reds, 3 against the Dodgers. You know, when we talked last week, we talked about in this pretty tough stretch of 16 games in 16 days, sort of not playing yourself out of that last wild card contention. The road trip, the Giants certainly tried hard to play themselves out of the contention for that wild card position. But there still is a lot of season left. I think we're at about the 40-game mark, so about the 25% of the season done. So there is still a lot of baseball to be played. And a lot of these teams are kind of hovering around that 500 level. So, again, just, you know, hopefully this team has a run in them at some point, a winning run at them. Right now they're on kind of a losing run. So just don't play yourself out of contention when that, so when that run comes, you know, you can vault your way up the standings.
Yeah, personally, I'd like to not see them get swept by the Dodgers again. So hopefully we can win some of those games. Hopefully a series win would be amazing, but I'm not staking my happiness on that. Kyle Harrison had two great starts on the road trip. They won both of his starts. So I'm excited to see Kyle pitch again at home. Keaton Wynn had two kind of struggle starts on the road. Excited to see him come out again and hopefully push back against those. There are some things to look forward to.
Yeah. Kyle Harrison has been great. Jordan Hicks has been great. You know, Keaton Wynn, who, you know, we've talked about on this show, and we've highlighted some of his sort of really awesome performance so far in this rookie season for him. He was apparently sick in that first start against Philadelphia. And then there was some suggestion that he might be tipping his pitches against Colorado. And so for those of you who are maybe new baseball fans, those of you hopefully we are bringing to baseball through Generations on Giants, tipping your pitches means you're doing something, either the way you hold your glove, the way you position your hand in your glove before you pitch, you're kind of showing what you're going to throw. So if you're throwing a fastball or a curveball or something else, players, the hitter can kind of pick up on that. And that's a real advantage for a hitter. So there was some suggestion that maybe Keaton Wynn was tipping his pitches in Colorado. That's correctable. But I think, you know, these sort of struggles are what you expect from a young pitcher. Until they figure it out, you're going to see highs and you're going to see lows, hopefully more highs than lows, and you're trending in a positive direction. But I'm not super surprised by a little bit of struggle from Keaton Wynn. One of the things I do think is a bit of a surprise is Logan Webb has had two pretty rough outings in a row. That's not something, you know, we've come to expect or are used to seeing as Giants fans. So probably not worried about it, but it is surprising. And you kind of expect the role that Kyle Harrison has played of being a stopper and coming in and throwing a great game and stopping a losing streak. You expect that to be the Logan Webb role, and he has not, the last two times through the rotation, fulfilled that role.
Yeah, really a bummer to see Webby get knocked out early from these games, especially since he is known as, like, one of the last true starters in the games that can go 8 or 9, and usually won't go 7. But Bryce Harper took both Logan Webb and Keaton Wynn deep. And, you know, that's just a really hot Phillies team. And they were playing really, really well. And we were playing really freaking terrible. I think I've heard that Bob Melvin gave a little dugout speech to the Giants after that last game against Philly when they got swept. Which led to two wins in Colorado and then, unfortunately, a loss. So hopefully that instilled something in these Giants hitters to not play like garbage. But I think dugout and manager speeches can only do so much.
Yeah, there was a lot of talk coming into this season about how great it was going to be to have Bob Melvin as the manager. I don't know that I place a lot of the blame for this team on Bob Melvin at this point in time, but I also was not super sold either that it was a great hire or that it was going to really matter all that much. I think at the end of the day, like you were saying, it's the talent on the team and how well the players are playing. And there's a bunch of players who just need to play better for the Giants if we're going to, you know, have something to talk about other than vibe check at Yankee Stadium.
And, you know, some other, even in the wins, some disappointing stuff to come out of. Camilo Doval gave up a home run in Colorado, which is not, like, unheard of. It's Coors Field. the ball really flies there. You can give up a lot more home runs. But Camilo Doval trying to make us bite all our fingernails off.
Yeah, it is one of the things that I did wonder about as we go through a stretch where the Giants are really struggling to score runs. You know, they've been held to three or fewer in a bunch of games this season. I did kind of wonder when or if you would start to see that, you know, rub off on the pitching staff. And by that, I mean, you know, pitching staff really putting a lot of pressure on themselves to not allow any runs and, you know, going out and pressing a little bit and trying to do a little bit too much. And you know, you were talking about Camilo Doval and giving up runs. I'm not sure if that's his issue, but, you know, I'm also wondering if this is, you know, a staff that feels a lot of pressure to not give up runs. You know, if you give up a run or two early, those feel like big leads against the Giants right now. You don't feel like, oh, we're down two in the second or the third. No problem. We'll come back and this offense will put a five spot on the board. That's not, I don't think that's how anybody's feeling. So I do wonder if there's a little bit of pressure or a little bit of pressing by, especially the starters, you know, to go out there and be better than they have been so far this season. You know, the other thing that is going around, if you follow the Giants Twitter or discussions with the Giants on Twitter or X or whatever we're supposed to call it now, or, you know, in the chats or wherever, a lot of talk about firing Farhan Zaidi. I guess on the one hand, I understand a lot of frustration that Giants fans feel. I don't really understand, like, what people think firing Farhan in May is going to accomplish. I just don't know what where that gets us. That's raising a white flag. You're going to bring in somebody then at that point in time and tear this down. Look around the league at teams that tear it down and see when it is that they start to compete again. So I don't know that I really look forward to a 3 or 4 or 5 year process of trying to rebuild this organization. I do think, you know, if they continue to struggle the rest of the season, you know, Farhan's job is probably on the line. But as a reaction in May to not playing well, I don't understand what all this... I don't understand what people think is going to happen from firing Farhan. I do understand that frustration needs some place to be directed.
Yeah, he kind of did everything that we wanted him to do this offseason. He went out and got all these free agents. It's not his fault that Blake Snell's on the IL. It's not his fault that Matt Chapman isn't hitting. Yeah, I do think people need somewhere to direct their frustration. But I do agree, it's May. I'm not even ready to say, let's trade the team away and give up on the year. So I don't want to give up on the next 5 years.
The one, now to contradict myself, which I love to do, one of the things that we'll say that does give me some question is, you know, we've talked a lot about the comparison between Jordan Hicks and Shota Imanaga from the Cubs free agent signing this year. And that I put them together in my head, and we've talked about this in the past, maybe just because of the timing around when they signed. But, you know, at the time, and Shota signed first, at the time Shota signed, I do recall the reporting coming out of Giants camp, and I think this was actually quotes, you know, from Farhan and things that he had said that he did not see, or at least the organization did not see Shota Imanaga as a top of the rotation starter. They saw him really as a middle of the rotation or back end of the rotation starter, and that's why they didn't more aggressively pursue him or pursue him at all. And, you know, now, again, small sample size, but we're getting late for it to be small sample size. Imanaga is, you know, if you read some of the publications around the country, one of the leaders, if not the leader, for the National League Rookie of the Year, and is in the conversation for the Cy Young right now. Now, he's 5-0. You know, I think his ERA is somewhere in the ones. He's striking out a lot of people, not walking people. Just looks fantastic. That is not, newsflash, that is not a middle or back of the rotation starter. That is a front of the rotation starter. Now, if the decision was, we really like Jordan Hicks, we like what we've got in Jordan Hicks, that's fine because they look good for that decision. Jordan Hicks looks good. Just say that. Just say, we like Jordan Hicks. We think we are really happy with the Jordan Hicks signing. That's the direction that we decided to go. I think they... Look, you kind of open yourself up for some questions about your overall ability to judge talent when you look at what the drafts have produced. You look at the decisions to sign Solaire, to sign Chapman. I think the Chapman signing is a little bit more questionable, honestly, in my mind, than the Solaire signing. But again, that's not to say I think Farhan should be fired right now. But I do think for those who want ammunition on, you know, is he the right guy to be evaluating talent or to be the top of the food chain within the organization of others who evaluate talent, you know, the comments around Shota Imanaga, the decisions around Chapman, I think give people a lot of fodder for discussion about questioning Farhan's ability to judge talent.
Yeah, I would definitely say Farhan was wrong about the Shota Imanaga decision. And, you know, hindsight is 20/20, but I'd definitely rather have Jordan Hicks and Shota than Jordan Hicks and Blake Snell at this point. I think Jordan Hicks was a great decision, but we're kind of creating a false dichotomy that we had to sign one or the other. Could have had both, just didn't really pursue him aggressively. And I think another thought about player development and about talent acquisition and the ability to see talent is when both our catchers went down in the span of two games, Blake Sable was called up to be, well, now he's the primary catcher, really didn't have a lot of catching depth beyond Blake Sable. Obviously, Joey Bart was traded away. Couldn't really have Joey Bart still on the roster at this point in time, so that's not really a judgment. But just on the player development side, Giants have really struggled. Their farm system is not ranked very highly, and it was just sort of a failure of the minor league system that we did not have good catching depth when both our catchers went down.
Yeah, you know, I think on the one hand, it is fair to say that if you lose two catchers in two games, that's going to be a challenge for most organizations. But like you and I did discuss, I think it is a little bit interesting, at least, that the third catcher up is a guy who, and we like Blake Sable. I think Generation on Giants, we are Blake Sable fans.
Oh yeah.
But he's not an experienced catcher.
And they weren't even playing him at catcher in AAA.
He was playing, I think, probably 75% of the time, I think, at catcher. He's getting some reps at first base, I saw. But yeah, you're right. I mean, he needs seasoning at catcher. And now, you know, hopefully Bailey comes back soon. But, you know, if you're leaning on Blake Sable to be your starting catcher for an extended period of time, at a time where other things are not also going well, you know, maybe if you're, you know, the Dodgers, right, and everything seems to be going well, you can develop a Blake Sable at catcher for a couple weeks. You know, the Giants have not played themselves in a position where that's going to be an easy proposition for them.
Well, since we've recorded our last podcast, two of the young guys that people have been clamoring for them to call up, Blake Sable and then Elliot Ramos, have been called up. Hopefully they're able to hit and provide some spark to the lineup. Haven't seen that yet, but hopefully that is in the cards.
Yeah, a lot of discussion about what can the Giants do. Unfortunately, not a lot of flexibility in this roster right now, so hopefully with some injury opportunity with Sable and Ramos, they can take advantage of that and maybe provide a spark that so many people think that the young guys can provide. So here's an opportunity for both of them.
Well, the Giants are finally back home. They'll play the Reds and the Dodgers, and we'll come to you after hopefully winning both of those series, pulling our way to second in the NL West, and having everybody back on the roster in perfect health, and also magical fairies have descended upon Oracle Park.
Well, since we're asking for things, let's get another maybe Camillo rollout of the save introduction light show. Let's have a few of those at Oracle, and maybe continue to hit some home runs at Oracle and see what we've got there.
Yeah, and I want a home run celebration. I don't want anything like the sausage that the Twins have, because that's gross, but something fun.
Yeah, anything fun. Generations on Giants' official position is baseball should be fun. And
we're pro-fun.
We are pro-fun, and the bummer of this 10-game roadie was it was not fun. It was just not fun.
It was borderline, and sometimes not borderline, unwatchable.
Yeah, I think it jumped way over the borderline into this is just unwatchable track at this point in time.
And we love baseball.
Yeah. So, I'm with you, McKenna. Let's come home. Let's get healthy. Let's get some wins. Let's take it to the Reds. Let's take it to the Dodgers. And then we can see what the rest of May holds for the Giants.
Generations on Giants is brought to you by Kyle and McKenna McElroy. It is edited by me, McKenna McElroy, and our theme music is by Owen O'Leary. Bye!